Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're really excited to spend a couple of minutes this morning with CJ Nikowski, former big league pitcher, who will be doing his own show at the top of the hour on MLB Network Radio. If you want a little more of the breakdown, CJ, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. When you look at the start, or the starter, I should say, that Craig Counsell has picked, Gio Gonzalez, it's kind of, he didn't pitch at all in the division series. Kind of thought that they would go with Jalys Chacin. What do you think about his choice to make Gio the game one?
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising. I guess anytime you go with your game one starter for a potential seven-game series, there are thoughts about bringing guys back, using guys on short rest, and as far as how you want to line that up. And, yeah, there's without a doubt some concerns when a guy hasn't pitched in a while, right? That's always a big one. You worry about guys getting a little bit rusty. How are they going to feel bouncing back from all that time off? A lot of times guys feel a little bit too strong. That's always a concern. But I think in this case for Craig Counsell, this is more about maybe matching up a little bit, using a left-handed starter against that Dodgers lineup, because they can play matchups with you, and they're not afraid to make their changes early. And we also know that part of the Brewers' plan is they're going to rely heavily on their bullpen.
Right.
And so it may be a situation where they're just hoping Gio Gonzalez can maybe get through that order two times, keep some of those left-handed bats on the bench at least for the first half of the game, and then hand it over to your bullpen, a game plan that, if executed properly, certainly could work well against the Dodgers.
And so far, none of the starters have lasted longer than five innings per Craig Counsell. Just as someone who used to pitch in the big leagues, what's your reaction to that? The fact that a quality start, like what we got from Hyunjin Ryu and Clayton Kershaw in games one and two for the Dodgers in the NLDS, that's the rarity now. We hardly ever see that.
I know. I mean, it's a kind of a sad, I guess, time, but I also get it, too. I mean, the name of the game is to win, and if teams are okay with it, one of the funny quotes after, I guess it was the wild card game when Luis Severino threw four innings, and after the game, Aaron Judge was doing a post-game interview, and he had said, he's like, listen, four innings out of your ace is really all you can ask.
Oh.
And I remember thinking,
oh,
wow, yeah, things have changed a little bit. Like this, you know, this is a feeling now that is resonating throughout the clubhouse, that they're actually looking at even their best starters in big situations and saying, listen, they can get four innings and five if you're lucky, you'll take it. And that's because when you have a bullpen like the Yankees and you have a bullpen like the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's what your team is built on, and all this talk about facing an order a third time through, everyone is starting to gain get the philosophy, and it's gaining a lot of traction. It makes a lot of sense, and I love watching Clayton Kershaw throw eight innings. I think we all still like seeing those games.
Sure.
The reality is there are going to be fewer and far between.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up because he generally has success against the Brewers in his career, including at Miller Park, but Christian Yelich is 4 of 6 against him with a couple home runs this year, and he's 9 of 17 against him for his career. What makes Yelich successful against Clayton?
So you know what he does so well, especially in this generation, which is kind of nice. We talk about getting the ball in the air a lot more and talk about launch angle. Well, as a left-handed hitter, first of all, as a power guy who added a ton of home runs this year, he had one of the lowest launch angles in baseball. So without, you know, sounding too nerdy or getting technical, he just doesn't hit the ball high in the air like a lot of other hitters do these days. And so think about a left-on-left matchup. I was a left-handed pitcher, and one of the things that I always wanted to know about the left-handed hitter that I was facing, I wanted to know if he had the ability to go opposite field, especially early in the count. Was he looking for something out over the plate to maybe hit a line drive to left field? Was he willing to do that? Some left-handed hitters, as good as they were, I mean, even some, like, say, using Jim Thome as an example, Hall of Fame hitter, they may be looking to yank early, pull early, right, turn and burn a little bit on you. And so you felt like you had the outside part of the plate when you needed it. Christian Yelich is not one of those guys. And so left on left, he'll look for something out over the plate early, and he can even drive it the other way. And so for Clayton Kershaw, he's a different kind of lefty. He has seen the ball well against him. That nice level swing works against some of Clayton Kershaw's strengths, which is the curveball and the slider. And so that's likely the reason, is that he stays in there really well against lefties and is not pulling off the ball. And those are the toughest left-on-left matchups as a left-handed pitcher, when you get a guy who can command the outside part of the plate really well and has the ability not just to even hit the ball the opposite field for base hits, but can also hit it out of the ballpark to left field.
CJ Nikowski about to do his show on MLB Network Radio. For now, we've got him for a couple of minutes. Former big league pitcher and baseball analyst, travels with the Rangers, so is part of their regular crew. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk about Astros and Red Sox. And I'm fascinated to get your answer to this. Which pitching staff do you believe has the edge in that ALCS?
Well, you know, it's funny because it comes down to, for me, who's bringing their A game to the table. Now, the Astros have already shown that with Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole at the top. It's just, that's a really, really difficult combination to beat. The question becomes for game one and game two with the Red Sox is, looks like Chris Sale is healthy. There were some concerns there because at the end of the season, the velocity was way down. And Alex Cora had said the whole time, he's fine, he's fine. And I'm like, I hope he's fine for you too. But when he's throwing 90 miles an hour, and he's a guy that we're used to seeing sit, you know, 96 to 97 when he's at his full strength, there might be something wrong. He was perfectly fine. Like, he showed that so far throughout the postseason, that he is healthy, that the good fastball velocity is back. But I think you'll always wonder in the back of your mind, is he 100% okay? He has proven that so far, but I'm still wondering what happened that last postseason, the regular season start. Is there anything that's bothering him? I think that'll be okay. I think that question will be an easy one to answer. The big one is David Price. And right. David Price, as we well know, is a $200 million pitcher. He has just been awful in the postseason as a starter. I mean, there's no better way to describe it. We just have to be honest about it. He's made 10 postseason starts. He's 0-9 with an ERA over 6 in those starts. And it hasn't happened. Now, it's interesting that he got the game two start, quite honestly. And then you start looking, and you look at his numbers against the Astros over the last 3 years. He's crushed them. He's done really, really well against the Houston Astros, and the numbers get even better at Fenway. The ERA overall, I think, is somewhere around a 2-4. In Fenway, it's even lower than that. It's sub-2. Again, over the last 3 years, he's pitched well against them this year. So if for some reason, out of nowhere, David Price can show up and be that really good postseason starter that he should be able to be because he's a really good pitcher, that'll help tip the scales a little bit. If that doesn't happen, they're going to be, I think, in a little bit of trouble because they're going to start relying heavily on their bullpen and maybe too much. And so while the pitching on paper, when those guys are at their best, is a pretty good matchup, the consistency of that Astro pitching and what they've been able to do so far, certainly, I think, for me, makes them a little bit of a slight favorite.
All right, so I know you have your show coming up. Don't want to
keep
you.
You're good. You're good. I still have. Okay. I don't go till 7.
Oh, I thought you were coming up top of the hour.
Oh no, no, you're good.
Well, thank you for waking up early.
No problem. I owe you.
The stat that blew me away about this 2018 season is this: for the first time ever in baseball history, there were more strikeouts than hits in a season. CJ, I cannot get over that, and I understand the trends, but that blows me away. Is there any possible way to change that, or is that just how baseball's going to be forever?
I wish. I mean, the trend is – the biggest concern for me is as far as how watchable our game becomes, right? I mean, I don't think it's going to change because the reward system is not necessarily hurting these guys yet, right? As long as you're hitting your home runs, even if you're striking out, teams would prefer that you take your walks, but they're still going to pay you. Now, the numbers have come down for some power hitters over the last couple of years. Like, the top guys are always going to get paid, but that secondary group of guys over these last couple of years have seen a reduction. I mean, use a guy like Logan Morrison, who hit 38 home runs last season, didn't do as well as we might have thought he would have done in free agency. And so there's some numbers that are coming down financially, but they're not coming down all the way. They're not going to zero. And point being is that teams will still reward the big swings. And it's one of those things, I think, that it's almost like, well, if everyone's doing it, it's okay. Like, you don't want to have the one team that's striking out like crazy and only hitting home runs and not walking. You know, that would be a problem. But bigger picture for baseball, I got to believe that Rob Manfred, he's talked about this a lot. He's concerned about pace of play, which is really important. So if we're not going to put the ball in play, we got to make sure the games are moving at least quickly. We can't have a lack of action and the games are slow. Like, that's a real concern, and it should be for him and it should be for our game. We get a guy like Christian Yelich, as we were just talking about. There's a really good example of a hitter that we like to watch, right? We love to watch Jose Altuve, right? Because you know he's going to spray the entire field. He's going to be short, quick to the ball, and he also swings pretty quickly. He doesn't work counts. He's not a guy that's trying to get deep into the count. I wish it would change. You'll hear John Smoltz talk about it a lot throughout the postseason, and you see some of these shifts, and there's an entire left side of the infield available, but guys can't do it. It's not what they do, and that's how they came through the minor league system. Team said it was okay. You can develop yourself like this. We're okay with this, and now we got a lot of guys that are doing it, and I just worry about our viewers. That's my biggest concern. We can't lose them.
No, I agree with that. If it's going to be slow, you're right. It can't also be boring with no balls in play. You can find CJ on Twitter at CJ Nikowski, NITKOWSKI. He's got his MLB Network radio show in an hour and 9 minutes, so you don't want to miss that. I love this that you're on a satellite line. This is fantastic. And it's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
My pleasure, and congratulations on your 2019 contract.
Thank you, CJ. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Bye, Amy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.